I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the booty booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty booty.
It's time to get this party started.
With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
I even put it in Slack last night and then first thing this morning on the dark web. So what time are we starting? Jesus Christ, Jimmy. Not good enough. Anyways, the first Footy Prime of 2024. It's exciting, isn't it? Dubs is here. JC's here. Craig's here. Wonga was here. He's popped out, but he'll be back in. Jimmy will be here at some point. Shams. So Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You have a good one? How was the... did you see it in? Did anyone fall asleep before the clock chimed 2024?
No.
Good.
Almost passed out before it did, though.
Oh, yeah. Because your brother-in-law and the old, limoncellos?
Lemon mules. I made an ass of myself, so that was along the same lines as mule, but drank them too fast.
Did you actually, or was that just an opportunity?
Make an ass of myself? Yeah. Well, it was both. I 100% did.
Did you? How?
Well, I mean, I was just with my sisters and my family. So, I mean, I always make an ass of myself. It's expected. I didn't send through a video. JP took a video of me playing drunken ping pong with my sister, Sarah. And I'm yelling something at her and I have no idea what I'm saying. I don't even know what I'm saying. Fall down, whiff on the ball. It's ridiculous. But no, just lots of fun. But lesson learned with the lemon mules. They're meant to be nursed, I believe. Or you enjoy one and then you move on to something else. You don't have three within an hour and a half and then fumble your way into 2024.
But that's what a responsible adult would do.
Mm.
But then we have Dubs here.
That's right.
JC posted a great video. I saw that one. And you guys had like balloons taped to a ceiling. And had the big fall, the ball drop, so to speak.
That was the neighbor's house, yes. That was a 9:30 ring in the new year for the kids thing.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. Pretty exciting though, I gotta say. Also, in answer to your question, I did fall asleep apparently before the countdown. And then my buds and my wife woke me up with the Puerto Rican ball drop. I think it was the Puerto Rican one, because it's earlier. And I think whichever one, and then they're like three,
Craig,
two, one,
take a bus. Greg took a bus to Fort Erie and did the ball drop right in front on your forehead to wake you up.
Yes, he did. I'd see great. It again.
Yeah.
I experienced the Craig Forest ball drop.
Still waiting for my ball to drop.
Craig.
Happy New Year.
Wong is off to Dominican tomorrow.
I am.
It's exciting. We'll miss you for a week, but we'll endeavor to struggle through this podcast without you.
Thank you. And I appreciate all of your backup, and I've sent you that document so everyone knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Did everyone read it?
Any idiot can do it.
I knew you were gonna, while you're around the toilet bowl. Maybe this is what I'll do while I'm lying here feeling nauseous. I'm going to read Wander's notes.
No, it should be an exciting start of 2024. Not for Wayne Rooney. Did you hear he got sacked this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
After 15 games, 9 losses in 15 games, along with a friend of the show, Carl Robinson. Robbo, let go with him as his number one as well. Craig, John Eustace gets fired after, you know, having Birmingham sitting like in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're fire in sixth
place. Yeah. And now they're deep in the relegation zone. happen to have cameras around for a Craig's enjoying this, isn't he?
He really is.
What a joke.
I think you called it though. I think Craig called it when that move was made. What a joke it was.
What a joke. Yeah. Tom Brady should stick with NFL.
Yeah, they're American owned. Tom Brady is a part owner. Gary Cook, though, runs a show there, right? I believe, former Man City football man. He's now apparently on the cusp as well. It's all about just trying to get brand out there as opposed to actual football decisions, right?
Yeah, they were looking for a big name to do a Netflix documentary.
Yeah, not the trajectory I think they hope for with a big name, right? Rooney takes them from
they've done it before, though.
Down to 20th.
They did it with Zola a couple of years ago. Same thing.
But it's all very well, right? Getting big names, but there better be big names who are proven good football managers. Because neither Rooney or Zola had much of a CV. I know Rooney did well at Derby County in that crazy year when they should have perhaps gone down. Did they go down that year, actually, in the end? Forget now. They got the big points deduction. And then he goes to DC United. I think so, too. But he did a good job there, in fairness. Then he goes to DC, where it hasn't been a great success story. And they still nab him and say, okay, now you can be our savior. We can get the cameras rolling and make some great content. To hell with the results. I mean, this is a brutal time to be a Birmingham fan, isn't it? It was looking so good with all the investment coming in and the big shiny teeth of Tom Brady. But here we are now. Team, you know, languishing. It just shows that, right? It's not that easy to run a football club. So in some of these countries, like in this case, the US, and they've done some great jobs at other clubs, not blaming the US and people from America not knowing football. But in certain areas, certain scenarios, they think they've got it all figured out. And they just don't.
They don't, clearly. And I don't think many people are going to feel too sorry for him. I certainly don't.
But I'll tell you one thing. It will not act as a cautionary tale. This will still happen over and over again. As you said, the more and more Yanks that get involved in, notice I said Yanks and not Wanks, in European football or British football, they think that you bring in the big name, you bring in the celebrity, and that's the answer to all your problems. And actually, I'm gonna veer off a bit because Sharms, you said we're talking about the new year, and you said Tom Brady's big shiny teeth, and it made me think of Big Shiny Tunes. Remember those CDs?
Oh, amazing! The 90s. Yeah, that was from The Edge 102.1, right?
No, Much Music.
Oh, was it Much? Was it okay?
Yeah, the Edge in 1996. If anyone's bored, 1996's was a banger. Banger music.
Those were highly coveted.
They were. They were brilliant. Yeah. When you listen to the radio and watch Much Music, it was great. Yeah. It was great. See, Strombo got an Order of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did he? Him.
Very cool.
Yeah, he's terrific. He's a great interviewer.
He's brilliant. Yeah, one of the best. Mm-hmm.
It's funny, though, that he got brought down to the States to have a summer Big Red Couch show, and it just didn't play. And it always just reminds me that there's, you know, that we're not, they are our cousins, Americans. But it's a different mindset sometimes about how you approach shows and what you discover that you enjoy and the curiosity and all that kind of stuff. So it was interesting how he failed miserably in the States and was amazing up here. Like he still is amazing. He's doing his original independent stuff on his, like, if you have a chance, go see Strud, go watch him, follow him on Twitter, all that kind of stuff. He's amazing.
House of Strombo. He does like live shows from his house. Every
yeah. Brilliant. Fantastic.
Just brilliant. Yeah, smart guy. Why wouldn't the CBC try and bring that kind of show back, do you think?
Jesus. Or,
I mean, they can't afford it probably, but has times changed since that was successful?
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. You need to have a digital play. So that would be a great play because it's already an audience that's created, and CBC has a digital channel with Jam across the board, and they could just say, hey, Strombo, we're going to give you this amount. We'll do, 20 shows for 20, and they can all be event-oriented with bands in his apartment or house, and it would be fantastic. It's a great idea.
He's smart. I'm sure he's thought about it. Right?
Yeah, but it has the CBC.
No, probably not.
3,000, yeah. Whatever, how many people, right? So
didn't they cancel their New Year's Eve big celebration as well for financial
reasons?
They
canceled New Year's Eve. It's actually New Year's Eve. It's 2011 for CBC right now.
I wish it was 96. That was a year. Big shiny tunes.
Exactly.
Do you remember, speaking of the CBC and Strombo, I think it was The Hip before their We Are the Same album came out. They did it was like a lake house or it was a cottage. And it was Strombo interviewing The Hip, and I either just he and Gord or he and the band, and then them playing the songs live. And then they released it as a movie. I remember seeing it in the theaters, and it was one of the best things I've ever seen.
I've never seen that, but I need to check that down now. It sounds amazing.
It is. It was.
So it broke the borders of Quebec right into
we do Lambert, get sort of current pop culture wonger. The language laws.
It wasn't Jalulu or Mitsu who was being interviewed. Bye bye.
Mitsu. I love Mitsu. Who's the other francophone musician? He was quite big in the 90s.
Rock voisine.
But
he was a Canadian.
Yes.
He was born down the street from where my family lives in New Brunswick.
Oh, was he? He wasn't
from
French
a point, place called Pointe Sapin. Yeah.
Really?
Of course it's a
fishing,
he was.
It's a little fishing village.
Does it say the home of Rock Voisin when you drive into it?
You know what? You I think it did, but the sign blew down. They never put it back up.
Yeah. OQLF took it down because the English writing was bigger than the French writing.
Ooh, political to start 2024. I like that. Wicked.
Yeah.
Now, why Strombo is so good, though, is because he's very likable. He's so knowledgeable. And I've met him once in my life in a hallway once. But I imagine that is him. When you see him on the couch or in his house or interviewing some massive name, that's just him. There's no bullshit or pretense. And I think that's probably why it didn't work so well with Hockey Night and Strombo. You throw Strombo in a bloody suit behind a desk. It's not his natural environment. And as much as he was very good.
At the hot stove.
At the hot stove. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
It's one of the segments they do. I'm like, why? Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
Not only that, but what's the hot, give me the cultural significance of the hot stove. Is it supposed to be like the water cooler? Is
the hot stove was a place at Maple Leaf Gardens, the hot stove lounge. I don't know if it came from there, though. I'm not sure whether the segment came from there or not, but the satellite hot stove back in the 90s was great, though. That was with a bunch of reporters, Al Strachan, Bruce Garrio, all these old school reporters would actually break stories.
Like
and nowadays,
scribes,
it's very hard to break stories.
Scribes,
hacks. But guys that really had the inside track, there aren't many of those guys left anymore. And it's just kind of changed. But when Strombo took over Hockey Night, I mean, I liked the idea. But he just was never accepted, I think, by the panelists, these old freaking white hockey guys who couldn't understand why a guy in tight pants.
Charms was at Strombo that year, if you remember right, there wasn't a Canadian team made the playoffs.
That's a good point.
So here's Rogers spending millions and hundreds of millions more than they ever fucking should on this poor hockey deal. And they're going to blame it on Strombo because the ratings aren't good because there's not a Canadian team in the playoffs. Fuck off.
That's a great point. Bring back Ron.
Yeah, bring back Ron. Yeah, they're still losing millions. But
I just
want
to say,
who cares? It's hockey. Fuck, nobody cares.
In 2023, we were allowed to peer into the depths of Craig Forrest's dishwasher. And in 2024, we can examine your cupboard. I'm trying to see what's happening in there.
I got some catnip in there.
Unfortunately, if you went really close, there'd just be like 18 cans of stag chili. Both kinds, sweet and hot, just lined up. Craig's meals for the next 18 days to feed him and his cats.
But there's going to be like a hidden gem, though, because remember that mug he unearthed the other day?
Yeah.
Like, where's that cool mug been, Craig Foritz?
Maybe in the cupboard. Maybe he's got a shelf full of cool mugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Probably has.
Reminds me of the old times.
The good old days.
The good old days when I used to be hireable before my titty grab.
Yeah. Well, that was what it was. Christ. That's what it was. Yeah. But it was Wonga's titty. You didn't complain.
It was. No. It was like
Can
when JC kissed my shoulder.
Titty, please. Stop it. Stop it.
I haven't said it. I'm just running with the bit.
Can Footy Prime please sign something? So I'm just say titty or panties. Please.
I'm just running with the bitty. That's what I'm doing. I'm running with the bitty.
Bitty. That's different. See, that's the one E word that Dubs likes is bitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But panty or titty, we can't do. Okay. So moving forward, we can't do that anymore. Okay. Or we'll be cancelled by Dubs. Because she's pretty much running the show these days anyway. Right?
Good.
Thousands of views on social media. Christ, what chance do we all have? We're gone.
It's
going to be the divorce cast 5 days a week in no time, and we're going to be relegated to like once a little segment once a week.
Footy Prime presents Footy Prime.
Yeah.
Your once a month show.
Yeah. Your almost monthly show.
Women are used to.
Footy Prime, your almost monthly show. Oh, that's great. Well, I know we'll be pretty busy this year because there's lots happening. Tejon Buchanan, Inter Milan. That's a huge move, not just for him, Craig, but for the national men's team. Another player playing on a tier one team in a tier one league. Great, great move for him. About what, 10 million all in, I think, is the fee.
Mm-hmm. That's good value, I think.
Given, I mean,
if he was going to a Premier League club, that'd be 30 million, like 40 million. You know what I mean? Like, these Italian clubs don't have the financial clout that they used to at this present moment financially, and they're looking for bargains. And I think they got one. I really do think that that's a bargain price in these modern day prices.
That's interesting, though. So, do you think there's almost like, I don't know what the word would be, but like if you were to compare that to if you went to a Premier League team, you think that it would be much more inflated as a transfer fee?
Well,
just because there's more money available.
Well, let's put it this way: if they thought he was good enough in the Premier League, his price tag would be significantly higher.
Mm-hmm.
Significantly higher.
That's just a tax right in the Prem, because we know why, because they make all the money. So the minute you start dealing with a Premier League team, you jack the price up and expect more, right? Because they can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a Super League, isn't it, everyone? That's why we need that, to break the Premier League and their monopoly in all things football these days. Come on, Florentino Perez. Come on. You can get it done.
I don't think that's the right angle on that.
No?
No, I agree that you need somebody to challenge them for kind of almost to dethrone them, right? To unseat them, but not with the Super League.
No, of course not.
No.
But, I mean, that's why Real Madrid and these teams involved want it. It's not just UEFA, but it's the Premier League and what they've done, because they've been the smartest in European football for the last 30 years. They did it right. Mm-hmm. Anyone could have done that, but they did it right. And it's just grown and grown and grown. This bubble bursting we keep hearing about for 20, 30 years has never happened in the Prem.
Yeah. But going back to that fee for Tejon, I think it's a great move for him. I think it's a good kind of promotion. It'll be a good challenge for him. Different environment. I think they play a system where I think he's going to thrive. But I was seeing the same kind of trope or this argument. I don't discount it. I think it does exist, where the fact that he's Canadian works against him in terms of the value placed on him. So I think that he himself will go a long way towards changing that. The more that these Canadians, our Canadians, get into big name clubs, I think the more that that stigma goes away.
Absolutely. Yeah. He'll look good in an injured shirt too.
He does look good. He's already, I've already seen it. They posted a picture.
Oh, yeah,
he looks good.
He does look good.
Yeah, it suits him well. I mean, the blue and black stripes, I know he's no stranger to those colors, right? But no, he looks good. It's exciting.
It's a beautiful kit. It's iconic, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
It's one of the best for sure.
Amazing.
He'll get minutes there. I think. So yeah, we'll see how that affects Canada. He's got to stay healthy as well, right? That's been his problem this year. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been that healthy.
He's a good guy. Good pro, good individual. Yeah. I like him a lot.
You know what I like about Tejon is he's got an edge to him. Right. He can be a real prick out there as well. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that too. It has not gone away. You know, he's not kind of big time Charlie'd it, right?
He
never floats. He might be guilty of a poor performance, you know, poor touch, just not having his best game, but that edge and that fire and that competition, like what he brings every time, he can be on the wrong side of it too, right? But you know that fire will always be there.
Mm. It was a good move when we moved over to Belgium. I thought it was an excellent move. I think we talked about it at the time. You know, that he'll get playing time. It's a decent league. He'll be exposed to all sorts of other clubs, and if he does well enough, he'll get a move. And so he has. So this is great for his career.
Charms. Did you see Ismaël Koné's goal?
Oh, sorry, guys.
Sorry. Longer. He scored an absolute beauty yesterday. Or was it the day before? Now I can't. All these days are mixed up now.
I think it was yesterday. Koné's,
yesterday, yeah, he scored another one. He's scoring buckets of goals right now, and a lovely strike again. A move that took a while, maybe to kind of marinate for him, but now it's working really well.
Managers, which is nothing new at Watford, so that's always difficult to maneuver through and around, and whether the guy likes you. Because when they did make the change, I don't think that the new manager started them all that much at the start. So good for him to work his way back in there.
Yeah, because he's finding more consistency. Sure, he's scoring, and he seems to score, you know, absolute worldies every couple of weeks, which is great, and he gets you know, on people's radars that way. But it's the performance, I think, that's beneath that, where he's becoming a lot more reliable, a lot more consistent, especially defensively, which was an aspect of his game that he had to shore up. So you look at his stats in terms of recoveries, clearances, tackles, things like that, and it seems like each week he's sort of chipping away at that aspect of his game and improving it, which is good to see.
All eyes now on Alphonso Davies, and his contract situation is really interesting. It expires in 2025, which means that if Bayern can't re-sign him, or don't think they can re-sign him, he's probably leaving this summer. If they want to get something for him, it'd be a cut price deal for potentially Real Madrid. I mean, it was amazing to see a Canadian player play for Bayern Munich. Brilliant. But if it ends up at Real Madrid, Craig, I mean, that's, again, a Canadian playing at Real Madrid. Amazing. But not to get too far of ourselves here. But still, it's one to watch for sure the next few months.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He's in a really good position, because if he wants to, it's the ball's in his court, really. I mean, he can make those decisions, and he doesn't have to necessarily make that move if he doesn't agree to it. And so whatever is right for him, it's going to be up to him, really. He's got all the cards.
Well, I interrupted you.
Oh, I was just, guys, I'm always confused about, and this is the educating Wonger section, the transfer fee. Explain, you guys know it inside and out. Explain the transfer fee compared to just the salary or the wages that a player is. I know we had it. I had it explained. I think Dunny explained it to me, but I still missed some. Is it a club fee that going across? So when they talk $8 million, that's just the clubs doing a deal for the player?
Yeah.
Okay. And so then the salary, like Tejon's salary, will remain the same? Or does he have to renegotiate that with Inter?
Well, say the club agrees whatever the fee is, and they say, we've agreed that. Now, Tejon, you have to do your personal terms. If he didn't like his personal terms, if he's still under contract, he doesn't have to leave. He could stay if he wants. So does he get a chunk of that?
Oh, he can. What do you mean? He could veto. He's got a veto on this.
Yeah, sure. He's under contract, right?
European law.
Yeah.
So does he get a chunk of that 8 million? Technically speaking, yes, he will. Somewhere down the line, he will receive some bonuses for signing on or whatever for making the move. And but technically, he doesn't get a percentage of it. A lot of people will say, well, they get 5%, 10%, but it's sort of what you do with your personal terms. So whatever your personal terms are, if you agree to that and they've agreed to the fee between the two clubs, the deal gets done.
And in Fonzie's case, because he's letting his contract wind down and Real could get him for a cut price deal with Bayern, he can get more money from Real Madrid for his personal terms.
When is it up? Sharms, is it summer?
2025, I believe, yeah.
Oh, 2025. So, okay.
And usually
out longer, and then he's all of a sudden sitting in a position where he's free. And can you imagine? I mean, now you're going, oh, okay, the agent's saying, well, what is he worth? What is his actual price tag worth? He's walking away on a free. We want a 20 million, 30 million pound signing on fee, as well as 300,000 pounds a week. You know, this is sort of how it works, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, it's there's so much collusion too, because officially, if say, for example, your contract expires this summer, you can officially start negotiating with new teams as of now, January. Whereas in Tejon's case, the speculation is, according to Fabrizio Romano, like they had personal terms figured out months ago into Tejon. So Bruges knew and probably gave permission. Yeah, you can talk to him. We'll do a deal in January. So he knew he was going there. That was all sorted. It's just the clubs now had to come to an agreement.
It's interesting. That was well explained. Thank you.
Is there, I think we've maybe talked about this before, Forrest, I've asked you, but in a slightly different context. Is it always to the benefit of the player to let the contract lapse, where you're talking about, like, you know, financial terms, how it might end up looking a little bit rosier? Or there's risk, right? When you're a player, of injury, your form declines. Like, so do you have to weigh that every single time?
Yeah, you do. You really do. You're kind of betting on yourself a little bit. And if you're going to let your contract run out, we see that happen in sports in North America too. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But at the same time, if they do a deal, obviously your agent and the club know the position you're in. You got a year to go. You're going to run up.
Did you say you're Asian? Is it just an Asian guy?
Sorry,
secret Asian man. Secret Asian man.
What was that part?
That's a. There's an old song called "Secret Agent."
No, no, I know that. I know that.
I know it makes me think of Austin Powers.
I'm just doing a little dance Austin for people. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Great. But what I mean is, the Asians will know.
they always know.
Oh my God!
Inscrutable. Those Asians.
The deal is running out, and you know you do have a lot of power in your negotiations. Even then, if they decide, okay, we're going to take 40 million for Alfonso, this is what we agreed to, and then his agent can actually say, well, listen, we don't necessarily have to take it, but how about we split that fee? And then
I also appreciate you enunciating that second time you said agent there with the T and the G.
Craig,
do we know what he's on right now? Sorry, Sharms. Oh, do we know what he's making now?
Asian? I don't know.
No, Alfonso.
Oh, I think it's a fuckload, I think.
Right. It's in that realm. Okay.
Around there, yeah. It's in the shitload and the fuckload around there. He goes to Real Madrid next summer.
What's more, the fuckload or the shitload?
Oh, the fuckload.
Fuckload. Yeah.
Fuckload is more. Okay. See, this is important. This is a definition I need. Fuckload.
That will change, though, with Mark Bosman, the fuckload and shitload. You know, obviously, Wonga, you know who Mark Bosman is, right?
He's, he's the guy who started the free agency. In the 90s.
Also known as a secret Asian man.
He is secret because he's really white.
That's right. Undercover.
That's right. Full undercover.
In the next show, we'll explain to Wonga what the Conference League is.
Oh, God. No, you won't. I'm lost.
No, it's a good little refresher course now and again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Important, right?
Especially the second of the year. First show of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's important to have refreshes.
Well, we did that with Ryan Reynolds and Wrexham when they were in the conference last year. We talked about that.
Yeah, we did. We did. And actually, they explained it really well on the Welcome to Wrexham show as well. When they break down
overrated show,
pyramid works.
People shouldn't watch it. Terrible. Overrated. They should watch Footy Prime when we put Footy Prime on TV.
What would you rather watch? Our YouTube. If there's a new person, like say an alien comes to the Earth and they got to watch one show, are you saying you watch Ted Lasso or you watch Welcome to Wrexham? Dubs.
Oh my.
And what are they supposed to get out of this? Just is this about football in general?
No, just I think life. And you know, you're educating the aliens on planet Earth.
My instinct is to say something real, so you would watch Welcome to Wrexham. But I think all of the lessons that can be pulled from Ted Lasso, I think maybe you go with that.
Yeah,
good answer.
It is. You see, they also delve into the darkness of the human zeitgeist.
No.
No, it doesn't make sense. I just wanted to use it.
Jesus Christ. No.
I said it yesterday in Dark Web, and I was
you
like,
planted
ha-ha.
It in my head. That's why. You planted
the way you used it.
It was very no confidence in the way you used it either.
No,
you've got to throw that out. And the zeitgeist.
Yeah,
no, that was zeitgeist. My post on the PWHL. I was like talking about women's sports. It was the first, it was the inaugural game for the PWHL, which was amazing to see. And it was a picture of my daughter, Evie, wearing a Sarah Nurse jersey, sitting in front of the TV, watching the official puck drop with Billie Jean King, Dana Hefford, and then the two captains from New York and Toronto. And it had like 20,000 views or impressions. Is that
impressions,
the word?
Yeah.
Longer
yeah.
And
yes.
1,000 likes. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Did you make it? Or did you want to watch it?
Huh?
Did you make her watch it or did she want to watch it?
No, she was watching it. She was just absolutely
she was taped
in.
The floor.
Yeah. watch
I'm not
this.
Being a prick, but was it like a stage picture? Like, just sit there. Sit there. Then you can go back to your Christmas presents.
No, but it's a seminal moment, I think. It's not just for the young girls. I think I saw a post where somebody was like, listen, the narrative is this is for all the young girls. And it is, because for Evie, she's at an age now where she's playing street hockey. She plays on a boys team with her twin brother. She's the only girl. And that self-awareness is slowly starting to emerge, not in a negative sense, but she's starting to realize that she's the only girl. And then it's, you know, like, well, what are you going to do when you grow up? And a couple of things come up, but like all of them still say that they're going to play in the NHL. But now Evie will say it. And then a little cunt on her team will be like, well, girls can't play in the NHL.
A little what?
What? Zeitgeist.
Yeah. That word's floating around in the zeitgeist. It's very popular right now.
And then others will come to her defense, but the reality is that she can't, right? But now she will be able to play pro, or at least aspire to realistically play pro. My point there is like that I saw a very funny tweet where somebody said the narrative now is this is for all the little girls, and that PWHL pumped out a really fabulous video, you know, talking about its time and for the new generation and all this sort of stuff. But then somebody was like, you know what? I love that it's for all the little girls, but this is just as much for all the old lesbians who have been in the crowd cheering these women on. And I was like, yes, go amazing. Lesbians.
Amazing. Our friend, I saw that one too, and it made me laugh. I was reading it and it was Noelle didn't post it, but our friend Noelle Carbone like retweeted it, and I think that's why I hit our feed, Amy, and I was laughing my head off. I'm going,
it's
yes,
terrific.
For the old lesbos.
No, I mean, I'm sure Project 8 are watching this with great interest, aren't they?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Now this moves forward. Now, listen, I'm naive, I'm ignorant. The best women's hockey players up until now, where are they playing? Where were they playing?
Well, it was fractured. There were two separate leagues, and that was part of the unknown. Yes, but not great conditions for the players. So that was part of like why this worked and how it's so remarkable is I think it was only in October of this past of 2023 where they said this is a go. But then the first thing they got done was the player's CBA. And then everything else was cobbled together. So there was so much criticism about, oh, look at the jerseys and there's no team names and where's the logos and all this bullshit. Well, you know what? It's okay that that's secondary. They'll get there. They're playing and this is a proper pro league. And a lot of these women are Canadian and American, but there are some from overseas, from Europe. But it's finally a place for them to play and one that will give them the right working conditions. Where they can actually have this as their livelihood, not
Amy,
just you know
a
working
bit
a couple jobs on the side.
How many teams are involved in this league?
Six.
Okay,
and they're independently owned, or is it league centralized?
I'm not entirely sure about all the details there, but I know that the Dodgers owner was a big part of getting this league off the ground.
Okay.
So that I don't think he bankrolled the entirety of the league, but his money kind of as the backing for the launch of the league was really crucial. And then obviously there are other independent owners, I believe. But it was Billie Jean King. It was Kendall Coyne. Schofield, I think is her other name. You'll remember her. Do you remember at an NHL skills game, at the All-Star game like a couple years ago? Where she did like the fastest lap and she like blew some of the guys out of the water.
I knew that was her, was it?
Yeah. Okay. She's unbelievable. I think she's on mat leave right now, or she's going to play for Minnesota. Or she's coming back, but she approached Billie Jean King. I think Billie Jean King was speaking to Andy Petrillo yesterday in the pregame and talking about it. I think it was 5 years ago. And she said, we need your help or we want you to help us. And so that seed was planted 5 years ago. And then Billie Jean King kind of got to work and then got the Dodgers. I wish I knew his name. I feel like an idiot that I don't on board. And then that was a real key aspect. But Bettman was always talking about Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, talking about how the way that the NBA has really helped the WNBA along, the NHL was never going to do for the women's leagues because it was fractured because there were these two leagues. So that was his excuse. And then NHL still hasn't really said that they're going to have a role. They've, I think, done stuff like the Dream or like the whatever it's called. It was like the rivalry series. Like they did a lot of different NHL franchises did a lot to promote that. But other than that, they haven't done a whole heck of a lot. But I think now that that league folded, a lot of women, it was very uncertain. They weren't sure if they were going to still play pro. And then all of a sudden, this new league came about. So I think it's important now that there is not two. They now have one. They sort of have a united front, and then they move forward from here. But it's great. And I think for 2024 and what's to come, and then with Project 8 on the horizon, a league name, more franchises, hopefully announced very, very soon. I think it's great. It's hopeful, I think, for women's sport and what's on the horizon.
Great on Billie Jean King, too. What an absolute legend. We had a chance to meet her, didn't we? I mean, she was just fantastic with us. And I got nothing good things to say about Billie Jean King. She gets it. She actually really gets it. I was really impressed at how she talked about how to capture and how to move forward. And that we also need those men with all the money sometimes to be able to get on their side, to be able to do that. And how do we do that as women? She just seemed to know exactly how to do it. So not only a brilliant, legendary tennis player, but she's done amazing things since she's been retired.
Can you share that conversation? Cause it was very insightful and it was, she said it while at her speech and it was so insightful about banging the door down, but then treating people. So go ahead if you don't mind.
Well, it was just more about, you know, just, you know, we can't just go out and attack people all the time. Sometimes we have to be able to maneuver our way through it and may have to be able to talk about how do we make a connection with these men who are running it. Because whether we like it or not, these white guys are running the companies that are the guys that control the money. We need to be able to get to them, get to the sensitivity side of things, whether they have daughters, whether they, you know, and push them into, you know, into areas where we can actually not necessarily manipulate them a little bit, but get them on our side to be able to push things forward as opposed to just bash them all the time. And I thought that she just really sort of understood the game outside of the game, if you like, as well as anybody I've ever seen. And she's not the youngest, of course, but she really does get it. And her support.
She's fucking 80. She just turned 80, didn't she?
Holy shit. But she was saying we need more people like her who can walk into a boardroom and not be intimidated and talk to these guys and demand, say, no, let's not converse. Let's demand. We need this. Help us out, right? And I mean, that's not easy. That's not a criticism. That's very difficult.
No, and her clout and her credibility opens that door and gets her that seat, right? Yeah. That's the problem, is the gatekeeping and then the access to those rooms. But the LA Dodgers co-owner is Mark Walter and his wife, Kimbra, team president, Stan Kasten, and then Billie Jean King. Here's an SI article from 2023, will help run the league after Walter's firm purchased assets of the Professional Hockey Federation. So that was one of those two leagues. And so they came to terms, and then that league folded, and then they started the PWHL.
Right. You know, there's a lot of people that don't watch sports out there. Well, we forget that. There's a lot of people that don't watch
more
sports.
More people.
So more people. Yeah, exactly. There's more people. So these leagues, these upstart leagues, be it Project 8, or the PWHL, there's a big market out there they've got to hit, and they know this. So there's so much potential in the world, because we're just like living this under this lens of sport, and everyone watches sport is the biggest thing. It's not. I know many people that don't watch sport and wouldn't know who Sidney Crosby is, or wouldn't know who Lionel Messi is. That's the truth. They wouldn't. It's crazy, but we can't believe that. So there's potential anyway. Most people know who Liverpool is. That's a damn sure, right, Dubs? Woof, what a performance yesterday. It was an incredible performance against Newcastle. At least going forward, it was. The greatest XG in the history of the Prem. I've heard this number jumps around a lot.
You don't use acronyms that I don't understand.
Expected goals.
Oh, you know this one.
No, I didn't know XG. Oh, is that the 7.1 or something like that? Was that
7.53 or 7.27? Right. I've seen, but regardless, it's the most in the history of the Premier League since they started taking XGs. And most of these deep stats I kind of laugh at and scoff at. I mean, I know they're important, they mean something, but XG is actually one of the good ones. In a world of bad ones, that's one of the good ones because I understand it. I mean, 18 shot attempts in the first half. Again, was, I think, a record, or certainly a record this season. They just bossed Newcastle, who looked just so soft in the middle.
Like most of us after the holiday season.
It's a dad body. They're a dad body. They got a dad bod, Newcastle.
Pillsbury Doughboy.
Oh God, I'm so soft.
But they were finding some space when they were successfully breaking the press. They did look dangerous on a couple of occasions. It took them a
Newcastle.
While to do so. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they could have scored.
Mm-hmm.
But they scored. They scored two. For sure.
I was concerned at halftime. Only 0-0. They could have had three or four in the first half.
Yeah, they really could have.
The when a team threatens and creates as many chances as Liverpool did, then it almost galvanizes the opposition because they think, okay, we've been able to weather this storm, so we've got a shot in this. Yeah. And then even when Liverpool finally converted, then Isak got one almost immediately. And then you think, okay, this is a done deal. I think, Sharms, you fell asleep. It was 3-1. And then all of a sudden, set piece, boom, is 3-2. You're like, well, this thing is not done and dusted. But then they put the hammer down, and that was the end of it. But team goals, that to me really personified Liverpool when they're flying. You know, build up right from the back with Alisson starting with the ball. That goal when Jota comes flying up the right-hand side, little give and go with Mo outside of the boot to Curtis Jones, like fucking brilliant stuff.
Beautiful goal.
Yeah.
It was
really, really great stuff.
It was a great goal.
You know, you Sharms is a Liverpool fan. You have to be somewhat surprised with, you know, with the, whether it was talk about Salah leaving and then Fabinho leaves, Henderson leaves. So we have to rebuild that midfield a little bit. And to be sitting where they are at this stage, at this stage of the season, man, oh, man, I don't think a Liverpool fan would have taken this all day long.
Oh, 100%. I mean, after last year, which when you look back to last season and you consider all the games they played the year before, over 60 games, I think last year came down to a lot of fatigue, tired players. I really do. Because they've bounced back now to not quite the levels of their championship winning team, I don't think, but they're getting there. Certainly in attack. Defensively, there's still some question marks, but moving forward, they're brilliant. And if Darwin Nunez can just find goals, then they're a different team entirely. He's fun to watch, but at what point should the patience wear thin with him? Because he's been there for a while. He's not a kid. He's a young player. But he's got to start putting the ball in the net. He has to. For a guy that costs that much money, I mean, I know you're a big fan of him, Dubs, and I think he's a lot of fun to watch, but my patience is beginning to get a little bit thin with him, for sure.
There'll be a lot of pressure on him because Salah's going to the African Cup of Nations. He could be missing as many as 8 games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Yeah, if they make the semis, it'll be 8 games that he'll miss.
Yeah. Two FA Cup, so two Carabao Cup games and one FA Cup game. But still, 8 games is 8 games, right? Big games.
And Endo as well to the Asian Cup.
He's been playing really well.
He's been excellent.
But Macau.
Yeah, I'm so happy that Jimmy's not here because Jimmy hates Nunez. Hates him.
That's maybe a bit strong.
Well, he
does. He thinks he's shite. I think that's what the word he used.
Well, as a number 9, he thinks he should be able to put the ball in the back of the net, right? And he's not doing it, right? When he was at Benfica, right? Prior to coming to Liverpool, I think he scored 26 goals. So, I mean, tremendous strike rate there. And then he's not really been able to find his footing in terms of goal scoring in the Prem. But you look at his movements, I think it's when he overcomplicates matters and he gets in his own head, he has too much time. And then again, I'm making excuses because if you're a striker, if you're that number 9 for Liverpool, you should just be putting the ball in the back of the net. But as much noise was made about Diogo Jota when he goes around the goalkeeper and then takes another step and then falls down because he feels the contact, he should have stayed on his feet and just put the ball in. Yeah. But that movement where he's coming straight at, what's his name again? Dubravka? The goalkeeper? Who was unbelievable for Newcastle. That he was very much the reason why they were still in that contest. But he comes at him, and then he's got the ball in his right foot, and he opens his body up, and then he takes it around him. That is very much what Nunez should have done in the first half when an occasion presented itself very much the same way, where he sort of bowled over the defender, and he finds himself just on the edge of the 18, and then he gets into the 18-yard box. The goalkeeper comes out to challenge and he opens his body up and makes himself big and Nunez hits him. And it's these types of decisions where he just needs to be kind of selling himself, stealing himself to say, okay, this is what's given to me here. I need to take it around him, force him into fouling me, but give myself more space or fire it hard with my left foot. It just seems in those moments where it requires like the critical thinking or no thinking, where you're just doing it by rote. You're just finishing and you're picking the right moment. You're picking the right foot. You're picking the right type of finish. That's where he seems to be letting himself down.
Yeah, but for 75 million and a year and a half into his career in England, shouldn't he figure that out? Craig?
I think he'll be fine. I really do. Let me find. He brings a lot of other things to the game as well. I think overall, I don't think they're overly disappointed with him, I have to tell you that.
And did you see the setup for Salah's goal?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was Nunez.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're not being paid for $75 million to be the setup man, to be a provider, but that's another thing that he brings, another aspect of his game that elevates Liverpool Klopp was talking at the end of the game, in between looking for his wedding ring, which he lost on the pitch, about coaches and academies looking at that performance in terms of the counter press and how it could be used to teach, like as a tool. And they've been flying in terms of their, not only their press, but their counter press and their ability to regain the ball in at dangerous areas of the pitch. And yeah. Nunez is one of these guys that is his physicality, his ability to get in behind, to play off the shoulders of those defenders, but to just find those seams and to really put the defenders under pressure so that players around him are perhaps able to be opportunistic. I mean, that's what he brings. Yeah. And of course he has to put the ball in the back of that. Of course he does. But I agree with Forrest. I think that he will find his footing eventually in terms of goal scoring.
I think he will. I mean, I do. I'm just saying that the patience at some point has to be like, okay, can't be don't give me, won't give me the finger.
Wonger shaking his head.
Oh. Wonger's trying to figure out what a counter press is.
Yeah, I know what a counter press is. It's when you get orange juice made straight from the fruit.
Right.
No, exactly, it's like a French press.
Oh, it's for coffee.
It's for your coffee, yeah.
No,
you
I just
it look, once, and then you counter press.
He did nothing. I chose Uruguay, choosing Nunez, thinking he would do something at the World Cup. He did absolutely nothing. He's
they
done
terrible,
nothing
though.
For.
Pardon? He scored for them since on qualifying. He's played really well.
Okay,
yeah, he's
I'm sorry. I'm not a believer. I'm going to go with Jimmy. Jimmy's not here. I'm going to be his proxy and say he's shite.
I really think that when he, I mean, this has been the kind of the common theme with him that. When he does figure it out, he's going to score a shitload of goals.
Yeah.
He really is. So, but I'm just saying we shouldn't dismiss and just give him a free pass. We've got a question at this point.
Would he be one of those guys, you see it all the time, super talented, just not being able to fit in to a club and then moves to another club and then is just going to bag goals left and right? Is that his future?
But
or
I think
is he
fits
sticking
in there.
Through?
I think he does fit in there. The fans love him.
Yeah. Well, Coach he looks like D'Artagnan. He's fucking a good looking guy. Who wouldn't love him? That's why Amy's thirsting over this dude.
No, it has nothing to do with his looks at all. Although he is quite handsome.
Come on, Amy. You're not that. You're not as shallow as we are.
No, not at all.
Yeah, don't fall to our level. Jesus.
Cody Gakpo, when he scored, he kind of mishit it, bounced, it went in. He still got on the end of that beautiful salad cross with the outside of his boot. And then Trent comes over and they have a very formal celebration where they
like
shook
that.
Hands. I liked it too. It's great.
Awesome. Yeah. What's the story behind that? I want to know what that is. That's pretty good. Yeah. Everyone else is like traditional celebrations. Yeah. Then this trip, we're in military. But yeah.
Oh, really, and about Trent, that try.
Oh.
Remember, so Salah misses the, or gets saved. I think you have to give credit. To Dubravka for that first half penalty save, because he absolutely smokes it down the middle. But credit to Dubravka, he doesn't blink. He just holds his ground, right? But the rebound comes tantalizingly to Trent, and you don't want anybody other than Trent, to me, almost in the world, or at least in the Prem, standing over a bouncing ball, right? If you want to finish a volley, to me, it's Trent Alexander-Arnold all day long, and he fucking skies it. And then 10 minutes later, it's just outside the box and he's almost at the byline and he hammers this bouncing ball and he just catches it slightly with the outside of his boot, comes over the ball, and then it goes off the opposite post. And he 100% intended to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Should he have? That's a question. Should he not have just laid it in there?
Of course he had.
Because you're never going to score from there.
Well, why not have a go?
Who scored? Roberto Carlos scored from there, right? But that's Roberto Carlos. There's one guy I can think of like that.
Yeah.
Is that just a bit Hollywood? Craig, if you are a teammate and you see him, when you got players in the box, there's other options. And I hate to shit on this because it was fucking amazing. It really was.
But there's I'm just trying a to Liverpool be... fan. There he is.
I'm just trying to be somewhat objective here, right? Should he have tried that?
Come on, yeah, for it.
Why not? Why not? Hey, Roberto Carlos scored some amazing goals, but he also missed a hell of a lot too.
That's a good point.
He was a highlight reel, but he attempted a lot of crazy stuff in his time.
He did things with the football that no one's done before or since.
But you have to have the
on OnlyFans
for it, yes, or balls to do it, right? To try.
I'm gonna fit there. Yeah. Sorry, Dubs, what's that?
I said you have.
Meanwhile, we're having a little personal conversation.
Or the balls to try it.
Oh.
And then the moment that goes out of your game, you're a lesser player. You have to be willing to try the things that might come off, but they might also not come off, and you might end up looking like a fucking idiot.
Are you talking about podcasting or football?
Yeah, she just dropped the C word earlier. Yeah. I don't know if last time we heard
about a child, about
on
a child too. Not just a C word, but it's about a child. It's about a 12-year-old.
Listen, I blame the parents.
Yeah, you should.
You are the parents.
They are. Yeah.
Not my kid. Come on. Pointing the finger at other kids.
Hey, Salah. So Salah changed his boots at halftime. And he was saying in the post-match interview with on Sky, how he wasn't superstitious. It's just he missed the penalty. And when he gets things in his head, it's just not a good thing. So he just mix them up. And he trained with them the day before. So it wasn't superstition per se, but he didn't feel, just because that little seed was planted in his head, he had to change it. That's the fragility of the goal scorer, I suppose, right?
I suppose. I suppose, yeah.
It worked for him.
It worked for him. Blame the boots.
Blame the boots.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
I always blame the golf clubs.
I wouldn't use fragility of the goal scorer.
The mental fragility?
I don't know if I'd use fragility. I'd use they're idiosyncratic. I don't know.
You just like consonants. And... That's your problem. You like too many consonants.
I always blamed the alcohol and the condoms. So that's what I always blamed. That was a poor performance, Wonger. That was quite a poor performance, Wonger. And that's me talking in my own head.
It's the equipment and the booze.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Wonger fumbling around with a condom. That'd be something. Like, how does this
inside out?
then he puts away that second penalty, right? And hammers it in the lower left. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's fine, man. 2 goals, 2 assists. And like I said, off to AFCON now. Hopefully Egypt crash out in the group phase. I really hope they do. Sorry, Egypt fans. Nothing against you personally. But I don't know who replaces him. Harvey Elliott? I like Harvey Elliott a lot, but he ain't Mo Salah.
Nope.
Man.
Nobody is.
No.
That's 150 goals for league goals for Liverpool, league, yeah. Right?
Fifth. There are only 5 players done that, I think. And you can probably name them. They're easy enough, right? The Aguero's, the Henry's, I think.
Rush.
Was Rush one of them? Not in the Prem, though. Not in the Prem, that would be in the first division, I would think.
Well, I think
anyway, they're pretty impressive names anyway, as you can imagine. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, fun match. One today too, actually, right, Craig? West Ham's playing today, aren't they?
Who's playing today?
West Ham.
Yes!
Who are they playing?
What day is that again? I know it's one of those days.
They're playing Brighton. That's a good game. 2:30. There you go. There's your afternoon planned.
Yep.
There it is.
Hey, FuboTV.com/footyprime.
This week isn't as bad as last week, the lost week.
Oh my God.
Did you guys get that pic I sent you?
Yeah.
It was like somebody on a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire type show with 4 choices. Like, what day is it today? Is it Monday, Thursday, Sunday, or 1982?
It was really well done.
I think Jimmy's still stuck in that fucking week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly. Maybe he'll join us next time. We'll have to wait and see. That's about it. Anything else you want to get to?
Yeah.
Oh, there
I've
is.
Got a few things. Well, okay. Remember we were talking about some resolutions. So these are Wonger's resolutions.
So, resolutions or resolutions?
Both. I'm going to go eat at McDonald's with Craig later on because I got the coupons in the mail.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Always get me those coupons.
Are they the fun little ones with like the doors?
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
It's a shit move by McDonald's.
Right? Oh, McDonald's.
Trying to turn the page and try and get healthy again. Here's a Big Mac for $2.
$14.99. 2 can eat. And it's like the Big Macs. I'm like,
fat fuck.
Yeah. I've done that before. I've done the two for one. 2 can eat for one person.
Oh, yeah. I used to do 2 Big Macs like that.
It's like when you're ordering sushi and you've ordered like a fuck ton and they're like, how many chopsticks? You're like, oh my God, like six. Just for you. It's like pure panic. Like, oh my God, I'm being judged. It's just for me. Party platter.
Some thin Korean man is judging me.
It's true. I did that the other day. I ordered so much curry, I thought, I'm going to order a Diet Coke. No, make that two Diet Coke.
Does the other person want something? No, that's just 1 liter of Diet Coke, please.
Don't judge me. Sorry, go ahead, Wonga. Go ahead.
All right, so the first one is Footy Prime is going to start 2 new pods. One will be, so we resolved to do this. One will be JC and Wonga are going to have their own podcast reviewing food and starting off with chicken wings, just so you know. That.
That's amazing.
The second one is start a new podcast, and I haven't pitched this to Dubs yet, but it's called Panties Prime, and it will be her, and I've already reached out to this gentleman. It'll be her and Joey Barton reviewing women's underwear. So I know she's super enthusiastic about it. I can tell by her face.
Looking forward to it.
Good. And number two kind of works in the same way, is work harder on Footy Prime. Footy Prime has been the best side hustle you could ever create and ever. I think we would all agree on that. But it's to make Footy Prime the best full-time hustle for all of us. So that's what we resolved to do in 2024. That'd be amazing. And all those other jobs that Dubs does, Sharms does, Craig's does, JC does, Wonger does, and Jimmy does do. God, that was some bad English. that... We can, those will be our side hustles. How fun would that be if Footy Prime was our full hustle and everything else we're doing is our side hustle? That's a resolution.
That's Wonga's way of asking for a benefactor. If you have lots of money and don't know what to do with it,
Billie Jean King.
Involved with the Dodgers.
Yes,
feel
exactly.
Feel free to reach out.
And this goes to the other sports, and we were talking about Strombo, but it's to resolve to watch almost no hockey. I'm sorry, I hate hockey. I've decided that. I am now in a hate hockey zone.
I can't do
that. I'm sorry, and I'm wearing a Leafs Forever.
Nice.
Some irony. Yeah, I'm going to have to give this shirt to you. I don't like hockey anymore. I've lost the thread, and it's very hard. And because I picked up soccer / football, it is all encompassing. It is a commitment to watch, and even all the highlights. So I don't know if I have enough time in my life being a full-time dad. I've got to prioritize footy and Footy Prime. So I'm sorry, I'm going to watch less hockey. So people out
there.
But you'll
keep watching basketball.
I will. And NFL football and some CFL too.
And a lot of porn.
And tons of, no, a minute and a half of porn a day. That's all I do.
That's enough. Just fast forward to the end.
Just find that one little scene.
You're nothing if not efficient, Wonger.
Ta-da. I'll write the directions for that too while I'm gone. Here's a good one.
If it's written on your palm, I do not want that photo. Thank you.
No. Eat less candy is one of my big ones.
This is an extensive list.
Eat more cakes, pies, and cookies. So that's eat less.
I think everyone should eat more pies.
Yeah. Travel more and not by car. Just travel more. Jump on a plane and be more, excited about traveling. Because I think the pandemic made us sit around a lot, way too much, and get a little too insulated. And I think and isolated. And I think we have to go out and meet people. And I even more with Footy Prime, do some Footy Prime events where we're, we fly Dubs in and we meet, 150 people and talk footy and make them laugh and, say hi to them, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to do that. And then the final one is Craig and I were watching.
Thank God.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Be more curious, a little more humble, and learn more. So those are my
The last one there's no chance of, but the others you actually do.
But right, be more curious, you know. Yeah, I like being curious, and I told Sharms and JC that I downloaded the Adobe Creative Suite. Shout out Adobe Creative Suite. And so I'm going to try and learn all of those platforms and software. So we have more and more content to provide you guys.
How many people can use that at one time?
We jump in and out of, it's one at a time, but we can jump in and out. Yeah. Might be two.
I've got to work on my Premiere as well.
Yeah.
You work on that. We need someone to do Photoshop though. One of us, like, properly.
That's hard, eh? Photoshop is hard.
I'm really good at Photoshop, you guys.
You are. Yeah. you really are very special at it.
No, I think we're gonna have to recruit Rhonda. Rhonda Brown.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just
no
go,
kidding.
Rhonda, here's the stupid thing we said. Can you do a picture about it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. $2 a pop.
Yep.
I haven't got much more than that. We want to travel, for Christ's sakes. We've got to be paying other people. All right. That's it then for the first show of the new year. It's Tuesday. Are we back tomorrow or back on Wednesday or Thursday?
Hold your horses there, sugar. Listen. So one of our, so I'm going to dive into Wonger's mail sack real quick. Phil Aguner is one of our fans. He asked if I would open the show, the first show of 2024, with and introduce the show as the fucking Footy Prime Show. Yeah. So now I'll end the show by saying thanks for watching and listening or whatever to the fucking Footy Prime Show, trademarked by our guy.
I like Phil. That. Oh, it's there, is it? It's actually there on, he's written it down. It's like a little graphic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's wicked.
Yeah. That's it.
All right. More cursing. That's my resolution for 2024. Following Dubs' footsteps. Yeah. More cursing on this fucking show.
No pussyfooting around.
No. So I hope you enjoyed that fucking show. We'll be back with another fucking show at some point later this fucking week. Fuck.
Sprinkle.
Buy newspapers?
No, sprinkle. I'm throwing sprinkle you to what? Tony Bett.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Okay. TonyBett.ca.
Place some fucking bets.
Lay some bets. We've got FA Cup this weekend.
Yes.
We've got a Prem game later today. Sprinkle your hard-earned money. Win some money. And watch your Premier League games on Fubo TV. That's FuboTV.com/FootyPrime and subscribe. Mm-hmm. How's that?
Yeah, and follow TonyBet_Canada at TonyBet_Canada on Twitter.
Thank you. There we go. Done. Right. Till next time. Whether it's tomorrow or Thursday, I don't know. It'll be on Friday for sure. Later.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by TonyBet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy fucking New Year.
Happy New Year.
That should probably do it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.